racing back to the warning track, to the wall. Upper deck, goodbye baseball.
The Jerry DePoto Show.
A tape measure home run by Nelly Cruz.
Every Thursday at 3:30 with Danny, Dave, and more.
The Jerry DePoto Show is brought to you by Metropolitan Appliance and Monogram Appliances.
Streaming on every device on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
It is September 1st. Rosters are expanding. The Mariners returning home, and we're joined now by General Manager Jerry DePoto. And Jerry, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, as you do every week.
You got it, guys.
It was a tough road trip. There's no two ways about that, and I can't help but feel that, man, if the roster expansion had come just 1 week earlier, we might have had a dramatically different story here.
I think that 29 other teams could probably say the same thing, and you know, we tough is putting it mildly. We just did not play well on the road trip, and in some ways we beat ourselves, and in other ways we just ran into pitching that we had a tough time overcoming. And the couple of games we did have a chance to win, one in Chicago, one in Texas, we were just unable to quite finish it off. So yeah, it's anybody has a chance if they get extra bodies to do it with. And starting tomorrow when we open up a new series at home, we'll have that luxury. But now we're going to have to overcome a hole that we dug for ourselves. But, you know, we still have a chance, and we're fighting in this thing.
Yeah, you still have a month left. And I guess I would say, how does a team rebound and regroup? I'm sure the day off today helps to put a little distance. But what's kind of the emphasis that you and Scott Servais have for positioning this team and pushing it forward?
You know, the same thing, the same message that there's been all year long. This has been a really resilient team. We have been, unfortunately, a little streakier than we would like to be. And I think here in these last few months, we've seen, I've referenced it before, those first 2 months in April and May, we were as good as anybody in the league. And in June, we were just awful. And, you know, July, we came back and rebounded a little bit. And then the first 2 weeks of August, we were virtually unbeatable. And then these last 2 weeks in August, we took the other route, and we've really struck. So hopefully we're able to get one more good streak in us, and that's what I know Scott and the staff have imparted to the players. Is hey, guys, we've got one more good streak left in us. Look at this last month as an opportunity. And the good thing for us is that all the teams that are involved in this playoff race, ourselves included, they're playing the teams that are also in it. So it's a head-to-head match, and everybody gets to knock each other off. And we're probably one of the few teams that's going to spend a fair amount of time playing teams that are not in the playoff race. So if that's any slight advantage, then we're going to have to take advantage of it. And if we don't, then we don't deserve to be there.
And, Jerry, you said, you know, the same message and everything. That's got to be one of the more challenging parts for you and Scott, I guess. It seems like, anyway, that whether to change things or just keep doing what you're doing when you're going through rough times like this.
Now you have to stay consistent. You know, the 162-game season is a long grind. And, you know, this team has, like I said, they've been able to bounce back. They've bounced back from disappointment. We've bounced back from late game defeats. We've had as many late big moments in a good way as just about any other team in the league, with the walk-offs and the exciting wins. And sometimes you just play off that emotion. And like this last road trip, when you've lost a lot of close games, and you know, yesterday aside, we lost a lot of close games. And you know you're right there every night. These guys have been through it time and again. I think we've played as many one-run games as anybody in baseball. And you know, it's a remarkable thing that the way the season treats you. And here, as the weather starts to cool, I think yesterday was a really disappointing loss. And fortunately, we have an off day to recover and lick our wounds today. But baseball forces you to get out there again tomorrow, and we will be.
Jerry DePoto is with us via the Venue Kings hotline. Jerry, you mentioned all the one-run games, and I can't help but look at that, and that might be the difference in the division right now between Texas and you guys. How much of those close games are just the breaks of the game and the way things go, and how much of that is the way a team is built or the way it performs under pressure?
I don't think it's too much of the latter. Unfortunately, and this is going to sound like a bit of a cop-out, you know, the results in one-run games, there's a lot of luck involved. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's unfortunately the way it is. I think the current Texas Rangers are are on an all-time best winning record or winning percentage in one-run games. And the 2012 Orioles were that way as well. You know, that's the way it goes. Is you have the ups and downs. Sometimes you win one-run games because your bullpen blows it, and you tie a game and you win it in the 10th or in the bottom of the ninth. And on other occasions, you win a one-run game because your bullpen preserves a one-run lead for three innings. So there are a lot of different ways that it mixes and matches. You have to be lucky to win one-run games over and over and over. And we knew we were going to play in a lot of them. We've basically bumped about even in our one-run games. And we've not played in a lot of blowouts on either side. We don't blow a lot of teams out, and we don't get blown out very often. So we play close games almost every night. It's a long grind for our guys. And that's why I say yesterday's lopsided loss, I think, gives us a different perspective and hopefully a chance to reload with a day off today.
Yeah, I think Texas is like 30-8 or something like that.
Yeah, they're more than 20 wins in one-run games. It's incredible.
Yeah. Hey, Jerry, can you tell us a little bit about Evan Scribner? I remember when you guys signed him, but he's been on the DL for a while.
Yeah, Evan sat out for 5 months with a torn lat. He experienced it in spring training, and unfortunately, we weren't able to get him out and pitching until August. He spent the last 3 weeks on a rehab assignment. Everything's come along, and he's been healthy. So, we're activating him from the disabled list. He'll join us. Evan he's experienced. He's multi-inning capable. He's generally been an excellent strike thrower. He's also got, the knack for picking up the strikeout. So, in the present bullpen mix and with what, Scott has to offer, Evan gives us a middle innings arm who's multi-inning capable, who might be able to help bridge the gap between, wherever a starter leads off and wherever the back of the bullpen guys start kicking in.
Jerry, Edwin Diaz has been one of the great stories for the team this season. We've also seen him battle a little bit of adversity for the first time, and this isn't all just about the last game. How do you feel your rookie closer is dealing, and are there any concerns about some of the location issues he's having recently?
No, I think this is just a result of it's going to get you sooner or later. There's never been a closer that's pitched that hasn't blown a save, and Edwin, it took a while before we really experienced the first one. So I think in general, the 86-88% is going to be about the norm for the top-end closers. And, remarkably, Edwin went the entire month without blowing a save until yesterday. And that's not common. So he's been terrific. The least of our concerns is how he's performed this year, how he will perform moving forward. This is just a chance for him to experience that adversity and learn from it. I think he was excellent when he came in last Saturday in Chicago and picked up the last five outs versus the White Sox. And unfortunately, we weren't as lucky this time around in Texas when asked to do something very similar. So, we have decided to take it a little easier on his workload these last two or three weeks. And, it's just the opportunity for Edwin to take a little bit of a blow these last week or 10 days has been needed. We've worked him hard. This is his first long season as a reliever. And inevitably, we were going to catch that point where he tripped or stubbed his toe. And, at that point, it's up to the other six guys in the bullpen or the other 24 guys on the roster to pick him up. And because he's picked us up an awful lot as the year's gone on.
What have you seen how he's dealt with that? Because that's being a rookie, and he's been as close as you get to invincible. You mentioned the whole month that he's been there. How did you see him deal with that psychologically?
Yeah, Edwin's about as confident and resilient and fun-loving, easygoing as anybody on our team. So losing is never fun, and especially when you give up the homer and you're walking off the field, there are a few worse feelings in a baseball uniform than that. I've experienced it, and it's no fun. So I think he's handled it very well. He has the good fortune of having a handful of veteran players around him, some who've been there before in those same situations and have been very giving as mentors and helpful in that way. But, Edwin shows up the next day, and he's ready to go. He's electric. He's energetic. It's fun. I know the loss doesn't get him down because he knows he's good enough to go out there and do it again.
I'm going to ask you about the new outfielder you got in just a second. But first, I wanted to know, you've got minor league teams that are in playoff contention. And on the one hand, that's a great sign for the development of prospects. On the other hand, that kind of delays the number of guys that you can call up. How do you balance that as a general manager?
You know, I think the idea being, well, tonight, I mean, hopefully tonight we have Tacoma as the last of our affiliates to not clinch a playoff position. They are one game. Their magic number is one. So they are one game away from becoming the seventh of seven of our teams to qualify, which would be the first time in Mariners history that's ever happened. It's, you know, all seven of our affiliates go into the playoffs. It leaves us very little wiggle room. You know, we have, we've talked about a lot of different things. We had to limit our instructional league program because all of our pitchers are throwing extended innings into the postseason. And you know, it gives you a limited number of players to draw from unless you just want to punt the minor league playoffs. There are rules in place that won't allow you to make too many roster moves with players outside of your organization for minor league playoffs. So we're going to try to do the best we can to take it easy on those teams. As some of the lower level minor league teams finish out, as for instance, tonight our Arizona Summer League team is playing in the championship game, and you know, those players, as young as they are, they may act as reinforcements at the higher levels to ensure that we can call players up to the big leagues when we need them, and they'll get a great experience as a result. But you know, we are going to expand the rosters. We had Scribner today. We'll add another handful or a couple of guys tomorrow. We expect to get Drew Storen back on Sunday the 4th. Shortly thereafter, we'll have Nori Aoki back, and Tom Wilhelmson will come off the DL by the end of this homestand. And that gives us a pretty fair amount of depth on our roster. So, you know, that in addition with picking up Ben Gamel from the Yankees yesterday really puts us in a pretty good position, and we can be patient with how our minor league postseasons play out.
Jerry, when you look down in Tacoma and watch the Rainiers and pay attention, who are a couple of names that are really standing out to you?
Well, I think Stefan Romero and Dan Vogelbach having been named PCL All-Stars, that's notable. You know, it's not an easy thing to do. The PCL is a very competitive league, and both Steph and Dan had very good years, and they deserved it. They have stood out in a good way. And you'll see some of the pitchers that have been here and helped us. Many of them we've seen. Cody Martin did a really nice job for us every time we asked him to step up. Many of the other guys, with a lot of our injuries throughout the months of July and August, have bounced on and off of our roster, up to and including what you see now with guys like Pat Venditti, and we call Dan Altavilla from the Southern League, who, you know, for me, it's just an electric arm and another guy we're really excited about in our organization. So you know, we've seen a lot of what Tacoma has to offer. I don't think there's anybody there that's a secret. With the exception of Dan Vogelbach, everyone in Tacoma who's an option to come up and play for us has probably already played for us at some point this year.
Jerry, I asked you, mentioned Ben Gamel, and you brought him up, the former International League Player of the Year you guys acquired from the Yankees. Where does he fit long-term in your ideas, and what are you hoping to see from him?
He's actually not the former MVP. He's the current MVP. Just
the current. He's the reigning. I didn't mean to cast shade on him in that way.
Yeah. He's 24 years old. He's athletic. As you said, the MVP of the International League, 300-plus over the course of 1,000 plate appearances in AAA over the last 2 years as a 23- and 24-year-old. Plays all three outfield spots. He's athletic. He can run. He can defend in three positions, and he can throw. In addition to winning the MVP of the league, he also led the league in assists. So he had a nice outfield arm as a booster. Hits at the top of the order, gets on base, and does a lot of the things that we really covet. And one of the things that we have been in search of from the time I got here last September until we sit here now, almost a year later, is that presence at the top of the order, the guy who's constantly on base. We're trying to move away from being as platoon-centric as we've been this year. And 2017 and beyond, we feel like Ben really fits into our plans. He's not a platoon guy. We see him as an option versus both the rights and the lefts. He's always hit versus both. And you know, if we have the opportunity in the month of September to give him a little bit of a test drive at the top of the lineup, like you might see at some point, like tomorrow. I think it's a great opportunity. He's done what he can do in the minors, and it's his turn, and we'll see where he goes.
Last thing for you here, Jerry. Your experience with Leonis Martin and the impact that he's had and really kind of the improvement we've seen at the plate, but mostly the defense, seems like that would be something that has been an affirmation toward your plans that you stated from the very beginning of arriving here, of becoming a more athletic defensive, a team that featured great athletes in the outfield.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Leo's been fantastic, and he's been, I think he's been a revelation for us offensively. We weren't counting on all of the offense that he's delivered, and you know, he's been through fits and starts, but whether it be he's got a fast bat, he has provided some power. When you've got a Gold Glove quality defender in center field who's an above average runner who can steal, you know, 15 to 25 bags in a major league season and chip in with what we now know is a dozen to 15 homers and maybe more. You know, there's more power potential in Leonis Martin, as we found out, than we even initially suspected. So, you know, he's just now, he's in his late 20s. I think he's just now coming into his own. And, you know, there is going to be more than a couple of days in September where you see Leonis Martin flanked by a 24-year-old Ben Gamel and a 25-year-old Guillermo Heredia. And that's a pretty athletic outfield. Not every plan comes together in 5 minutes. This one took closer to a year. And hopefully we're not done adding. There's opportunity for us, whether it be this coming postseason or into 17. Now, it's critical for us to get more athletic out there and really just roster-wise. We want to be as athletic as we can be. And you know, Leonis was a really positive step in that direction. I think he's been a real bright spot for us as the year's gone along. And by far, Ben, the most energetic and upbeat of our players in the dugout. He's fun to be around, and his teammates love playing with him, and we love having him on the club.
Well, Jerry, I just want to say thank you so much. We really enjoy your willingness to come on and talk about kind of the plans and the way things are going, even when it's been tough, and maybe even especially when it's been tough recently. So we really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing your team get back here, take on the Angels tomorrow, and see if we can get this thing turned around.
All for it, guys. Believe me, all for it.
All right. Thank you so much. That is Jerry DePoto.
The Jerry DePoto Show with Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Brought to you by Metropolitan Appliance and Monogram Appliances.
The Jerry DePoto Show, every Thursday at 3:30, on demand, on every device, on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.